Don't have fun. I already had fun when I arrived here this morning. The guy said to me, there must be somebody going or there must be somebody coming because Roland is here. There's no, the only one that's coming, hopefully this morning, is the Holy Spirit.
Guys, this morning.
I think it's so amazing just how Brett finished off worship, because when we look at the book of Acts, the book moves from theology to dynamic, where we begin to see the Holy Spirit move amongst the people. And so we mustn't allow that theology to stop us from moving into what God has got for us. You see, people are not often offended by theology, but they're often offended by experience because of what God comes to do inside of them. I've seen so many people over the years. And just by the guy that's married for 1 year, I've been married for 41 years. Isn't that amazing? The first five, we won't remember those, but the rest from there we'll remember. But we can read, which is the word, and we can see, which is what we experience. And this morning, I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit's going to come and rattle your cage, so that you experience what He can do in your life without you even wanting Him to do that in your life. Because I often hear people say the Holy Spirit will never do anything that you won't allow Him to. I don't totally agree with that, because I've seen Him do things in people that didn't want that stuff done. I've seen people shaking and rattling and rolling, and him just as he came on them, the demons fleeing. I've seen him do things that people didn't necessarily want to happen. But so we need to have a correct theology to understand what the Holy Spirit does, because it's all in the Word. There's nothing in the Word that we don't need to know about. And you know what? The greatest gift that God gave to man was His Son, Jesus Christ. You agree with that? But the second greatest, so many people don't have, because they don't know, they haven't experienced, it's the Holy Spirit. And it also says that when Jesus sat on the right hand of the Father, He actually poured out His Holy Spirit upon us to come and to change our lives forever. I just want to, we can define the work of the Holy Spirit as follows. The work of the Holy Spirit is to manifest the active presence of God. We have the omnipresence here all the time. But when the Holy Spirit comes on you, it's the active presence of God. You begin to experience things. You begin to understand things that you didn't before. So one of my favorite scriptures over the last time has been Acts 2:38, and it says, "And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The gift of the Holy Spirit. So for me, I've looked through the Old Testament, and God has got a lot of patterns. He does things in the same way to help us to look forward and to be able to walk in those things. And so, yeah, we see the first thing we need to do is repent. If you're sitting here this morning and you've never put your life under the lordship or under the reign of the King, you haven't repented. You haven't turned from where you were to where He wants you to go. And be baptized. So many people, oh no, I can't be baptized. You have to be baptized, the Word of God says. You have to. It's another value. What's your name again? Brett. Brett. That was like a word of knowledge. You have to be baptized. It's a value. It's a step of obedience. It's not something you can decide when you're going to do it, how you're going to do it. It doesn't matter what church you've come out of, where they tell you something differently. When you're a part of Josh Gen, to become a member, you have to be baptized. So if you're sitting here this morning and you're wanting to be a member and you're not a member yet, you need to be baptized. You need to go to an elder. Not that an elder needs to do it. Anyone can baptize you. But you need to go to someone and say, listen, I want to be baptized. So repent and be baptized. And then you'll receive forgiveness for your sins. I've seen so many people, as they come out of being baptized, just the Lord done things in their life that they haven't been able to receive before that time. Set free as people prayed for them, as people just prophesied over them. And Brett's been to Brazil often. I've seen a picture when a guy gets baptized, everyone jumps in to the pool that is standing around. It's something that all celebrate together. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What is a gift? Do you pay for a gift? Do you do something for a gift? If somebody wanted to charge me for a gift, I'd tell them, you can keep your gift because I'm actually not sure what's in that packet. Because, let's face it, we get gifts that we don't really want and we sort of pass them on to the next person. But, when you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, there's no conditions. You repent, you get baptized, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Man, what an opportunity to walk in the fullness of what God has for you. I don't want to be controversial, but when you receive the Holy Spirit, it enables you to be able to begin to pray in your heavenly language, which is a gift of tongues. In Jude 20, it says, building up your faith by praying in the Spirit. You know what? Whenever I'm going into a difficult situation, I will pray in tongues. And when I get to the other side, I can feel that God's built up my faith. It's difficult to pray in tongues for a long period of time. It's like it starts to play with your mind. So what I did was I marked out a half an hour walk. From the time I left till the time I got back, I prayed in tongues. I knew that I'd been praying in tongues for half an hour. You might think, oh, that's not much. That is a lot when you're praying in tongues. And you can feel the difference. So Acts 2:33, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, the gift, the promise, he has poured out this and that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. So the Holy Spirit, there's a number of ways that he works in your life. He's the counselor. He gives you counsel when you're struggling. When times are difficult, he'll give you counsel. He'll lead you into truth. Sometimes we find ourselves walking away from the truth, and he'll say, no, no, not there, over there. Let's walk in the right direction. He'll bring you into truth. Each one of these is a teaching on its own. He's your advocate. He stands before God, and he says, my blood that he's protected stands in front of you. My blood was shed that he is in the kingdom of God. And then my favorite one, Parakletos. I read this once, and you can go and check it out. A whole lot of people did, and I was right. There's a guy called the Bishop of Odin. And in the old days in England, what they would do to remember history was they would knit or sew these huge tapestries that they would put up in the back all around the churches. And Parakletos means comforter. But in the English, we've actually changed the word to mean something else as to what it actually meant in the beginning. So there's this tapestry, and these English guys are fighting and they're wanting to run away, but the bishop is standing behind them with a spear. And as they want to run away, he prods them so that they have to go back. That's what parakletos means. It's not comforter as we would have it. It means he will come alongside us and he'll walk with us through terrible situations, but he won't go, oh, you know, pat you on the back. No, he'll get you through those situations. So the Holy Spirit, it's not enough just to know about him. It's not a it, it's a him. He's a person. We need to have a personal experience. So maybe you're sitting here this morning, and we're going to pray later, and you've never received the gift of the Holy Spirit. You've never received him into your life. And so you haven't experienced what I, Brett, my wife, a whole lot of people here have experienced. But you've got to be courageous, and you've got to step out and say, I want the Holy Spirit. I want to have that gift that you have promised me. So we've got to move from doctrine to dynamic. We have to move from head to heart. We have to move. Some receive and some refuse. You know what? I've seen people, you pray for them, and you can see they're not receiving. So often when I pray for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I ask them, please, you stop transmitting, praying. And you start receiving. And allow me to pray for you and transmit so that you're able to receive the Holy Spirit. So what we're going to do now is look at, and then we're going to try and practically outwork these things. So it's the easiest way to actually see it happen is when you say, okay, this is what the Holy Spirit does. And then we say, okay, what about you? You've got a word of wisdom. You've got a word of knowledge. So the nine fruits of the Spirit, first of all, the fruits before the gifts. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. But the fruit of the Spirit, what am I doing here? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness. I obviously copy and pasted twice there. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Because I can never remember all nine, so I've got to put it down. Otherwise, I get seven or eight, and we miss the ninth one. And the gifts of the Spirit, if we read in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, there's a long scripture there, and they can put it up there, but it's the gift of wisdom. It's the gift of knowledge. It's the gift of faith. It's the gift of healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, speaking in tongues, and interpretation. The difference between fruit and gifts, fruits can be cultivated in your life. As you spend time with God, those things grow in your life. Love for people grows in your life. Because that's always not easy, but you learn to love people because the fruit, the Holy Spirit, actually moves in your life. Whereas the gifts are a gift. It's the Holy Spirit. But I want to just say up front, the gifts are not a token or a badge of God's approval. It's not that. So if God uses you, it's actually not for you, it's for the person where it's being used. And we need, so what I found God does, he uses the fruit to judge the gifts. How does he do that? So somebody gets a word of wisdom, and inside of you, it's just like, no, that's not right. That's the fruit. It's your peace is being turned upside down. But don't always rely on peace, because sometimes when God wants to do something, you are not at peace. But God will change that inside of you as you begin to pray. So the fruits are inner witness. So with the fruits, we start to desire to do things God's way. Lord, I want to do it your way. Not I did it my way, like Frank Sinatra, but I want to do it your way. I want you, you guys, are you too young to know who Frank Sinatra is? Now, there are some people here. I saw Bobby. I was thinking to myself when I saw him, I thought, don't let that oak near the stage anywhere. Our desires start to turn from the carnal and start to turn towards things that are pure and godly. When we're thinking fruits, we're thinking pure and godly, God begins to use us in the gifts, because we bring them in a way that is edifying and upbuilding. Fruit of the Spirit begins to be manifest in our life. You know what, guys? For me, it's actually harder to walk in the fruits than it is to walk in the gifts. The gift is a moment of God just coming and doing what He wants to do, whereas fruit is walking and walking your walk out with God, being able to be those that are loving and kind and full of goodness and mercy. I lead a congregation, and sometimes I've got to pray, Lord, help me with my mercy. I'm not full of mercy. Fortunately, my wife is, so it helps me. She balances me. We learn to, when we're full of, when the fruits are growing, we learn to recognize and to receive through that filter, as it were, so that we can use the gifts that in a way that it edifies God. The fruits, for me, this is the most important thing, is that we have a healthy fear of God. When you've got a healthy fear of God, you're not going to come up and say, I've got a word, and you're thinking, no, God's going to kill me if I get this wrong. We got to be those that step out, but step out in a place of healthy fear of God. So there's a couple of things you can write them or get them. I'm just going to go quickly through them. Do not neglect the gifts, 1 Corinthians 12:21. Do not despise the gifts, 1 Thessalonians 5:20. Do not be ignorant of the gifts. Stir up the gifts, 2 Timothy 1:6. Exercise the gifts. Desire the gifts, 1 Corinthians 14:1. So I'm going to quickly go through the gifts. We're going to see what they are. And then I'm trusting that God's going to begin to move in a way that will bless you guys, or even correct the way that you're walking, or whatever the case may be. But I'm trusting God for that. The first bunch is the revelation gifts. This is somewhere where I've seen the Lord use Brett and my wife. And so, word of knowledge. The gifts provides a supernatural revelation of facts about a person or a situation that could not be known naturally. It's often used to bring encouragement, guidance, or warning. Then the word of wisdom. Word of wisdom is often used to interpret the word of knowledge. So it gives divine insight to God's purposes and plans. It often involves applying the knowledge. So God says to you, you're going to make a lot of money. And I hope He's going to say that to me. I'll make myself available. But this is how you are to use it. Give it away. Give it away. Discerning of spirits. There's no way that I can tell you how this happens, but it's often the ability to discern the demonic or or the presence of other activities in someone's life, whether they're divine or demonic, it helps distinguishing between truth and deception in spiritual matters. It's amazing. People will come into the church. And in Acts 20, it speaks about wolves will arise from your midst. And the elders will all begin to say, hey, that person, it's not good. That person. So guys, you don't want to be that person. Okay. Power gives, faith. A special endowment of faith. This is not saving faith. That allows a person to trust God for extraordinary works. It often results in miracles or significant acts of God's power. When I was still much younger, my boys were this size, and we used to have a devotional every morning. They hated it because we were still living in Gauteng and it was cold. Like at the latest 6 o'clock, we would have it. Patty used to like crawl down the passage, and I had to turn her over on her back and pour some coffee in her mouth, and then she would, I'm awake. But one morning, we'd bought a house on suspense of sale, and with the condition that when the, what do you call that thing? The estate. When the estate went through, we would have to take over the full bond. And up to that stage, we were paying this occupational bond, which was next to nothing. And so I knew it was coming through, and I said, hey, guys, today we're going to pray, and we're going to trust God for 225,000 rand. They were like, what? Is it going to fall down? Including my wife. Is it going to fall down out of the sky? How's it going to come? I said, God's going to give it to us. So he gave it to us in the most unusual way. I had a heart attack. And I had to have a stent put in. And so because of that, I had a policy, that dreaded disease policy, that paid out. How much? 225,000. And then actually I got a little bonus. The 200 was what we needed. The 25 was the tithe. Then I was paid an extra 80,000 because of the stent, because they put something inside of you. So that month we like 225,000 plus 80. Patty used to drive a little Uno. Everywhere. And there was a guy in our church, he said to Patty, that car's not safe. I'm giving you a Mercedes Benz. It was still under warranty and stuff, so it was pretty new. So the odds were going up for the month. And when we got to the end of the month, it was about 500,000 rand if we put the value of that car in there that God gave us. It was amazing. So he actually gave us more than double what we asked for. But you see, that's something of faith. But it doesn't have to be finances. It can be whatever you trust in God for. So I want you, if you're young, and you've got something that you need from the Lord. Look, a gift of faith is a gift. It's not something you can work up. It's something that God drops into your heart and it comes to pass. Gifts of healing. I trust this morning maybe there's someone like Harry that's here that we can see healed. I remember I once went to a healing crusade. They asked the guys to come forward. They okayed a plaster cast on his leg. He came forward. They took that plaster cast and they broke it on the stage. They smashed it up and down. When they took it off, the guy ran. Totally healed. Where are you, Harry? Harry. I brought my 4-pound hammer. We don't have to hit it on the stage. Working of miracles. This is where what happens is the natural laws are overcome by this miracle. There was a guy called Paul Kane. He was a prophetic guy in America. And there was another guy called John Wimber. And John Wimber said to Paul Kane, can you please come and visit me? And do you think it's right? Paul Kane said to him, when I arrive At the airport, it will snow. And it was in the middle of summer. When he arrived at the airport, it snowed. Working of miracles. Guys, all of us have the potential for that. The Holy Spirit wants to work through your life. But I hope you're sitting there and getting excited and thinking, this is me. I'm going to see this happen. I'm going to see this happen. And working of a miracle doesn't mean that you mug a guy outside you and take his money. Inspiration gifts. I'm sure a lot of you have been used in this already. It's the gift of prophecy, where God prophesies and speaks about what the future holds. I'm sure there are those that have been used in that. It's probably the most common of the gifts, but it doesn't mean that it's... If you go to 1 Corinthians 14, it says, desire prophecy. Actually ask for it. And you guys should be asking for that. On a Sunday morning when you're worshiping, or on your way, yeah, you should be saying, hey, Lord, give me a word. I want a word to help my friends. I want a word to help this congregation move forward into everything that you have for it. I don't want them to be held back. Diverse types of tongues. Somebody, you just get a tongue that's spoken out aloud. I want to tell you that for a guy leading a meeting, that's not always the easiest thing. Well, not for me. Because then I say, and this is the condition, is that now needs to be interpreted. We need to know what you were saying, otherwise it's no good. Why share it? So each of these gifts is given by the Holy Spirit as a gift. Because of what God is doing in your life, the fruit is growing. You know that God has done something in your life. I know that God has done something in my life. Because before I was saved, I don't even go there anymore. 41 years ago, I don't go there. I got saved 3 months before I got married. I don't go there anymore. But I tell you what, it was only through God that I got saved. And we've had such a ride with God. We've been in a plane accident. We should have been dead. My wife screaming, Jesus, Jesus. We didn't die. We've had major stuff. I had major mental health problems before I came down to Josh Jen. Andrew actually asked me, hey, Roland, come down here. Let's give you another opportunity. I was leading a church now called City on the Hill, and malaria medication kicked off something in my life that was a disaster for me. But I thank the Lord that he's brought healing in my life. And so this morning, you could condense all that stuff up into one from God. But you got to believe for it. I don't want to say have faith, because that's like a cliche type thing. Have faith. No, Lord, I'm trusting you for this right now. And all of those, except for the prophetic, is generally the person that brings it anyway. All you have to do is respond to what they're calling. And now I'm going to step out right in faith, right in the beginning here. My aloes have just, all their flowers are finished. So I was cutting them off and throwing them away. And when I looked at my hands, if you want to, you can come look. Later on, my hands were full of cuts and holes and all sorts of stuff. And I said, Lord, what's this? And I felt the Lord say to me, there's going to be someone here this morning that has been hurt as they've been pruned. So God has done something in your life, but it's been hard for you. It's been difficult for you. But you've moved through it now. The pruning is over. But the scars are still there. And God wants to come and touch those scars and to bring healing. So I'm not going to make you come now. We're going to work a bit, and then we'll ask people to respond to that.